Blog More live fantasy sports radio than anyone on the planet. 7 continuous hours of football, baseball, basketball, and hockey action each Monday through Friday. Plus 7 hours of game day frenzy on Sunday. 30 shows in all from the best fantasy sportscasters in the business, like Craig Davis of FantasyFootball.com, the Audible Cecil Lammy, Paul Greco of Melnick and Greco Fantasy Sports, and the fantasy football guys Lyle Conkiel and Kevin Moore. The Fantasy Sports Channel, only on Blog Talk Radio. It's a schedule you can bet on.
It's week 14 in the National Football League. The fantasy playoffs have arrived. Not make a crucial mistake this week. I have a top five wide receiver from last season that must ride the pine. Find out who next.
One bleeds red and one bleeds blue. Two friends, one heated rivalry. It's intense. It's no holds barred. It's game time.
Hey, let's go!
On Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio with your hosts, Scott Atkins and Michael Trent. Scott and Mike and their versatility bring new light to many topics in and out of the world of fantasy sports. Guests can reach the show by calling 347-324-5404. Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio, where Planet Red and Big Blue Nation collide. Let's hope they're still friends afterwards. Here they are, Scott and Mike.
Everyone, and good evening. This is Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio, wherever you may be. Thanks for making us part of your night. It is week 14. We are live tonight on the fantasysportschannel.com and also streaming live on iTunes Radio. I'm Scott Atkins, Team Legacy in the world of high-stakes fantasy football, broadcasting live out of Indianapolis. It's week 14 in the NFL, and hopefully you guys are in the playoffs. I see a lot of names in the chat room right now that are in the playoffs. We have Leroy's Aces, RC Techies. We got Fly Peter, a couple other the regulars. Thanks for joining us tonight. There are two big national contests where it's all on the line this week. The Fantasy Football Players Championship is, again, on the playoffs, the playoff trail. You've got the World Championship of Fantasy Football on their playoffs. And, well, let's make that three, the National Fantasy Football Championship. Their playoffs are roaring. It's just an exciting time to be in high-stakes fantasy football. We're going to break down every single game for you tonight, as much action as possible. We've got injury reports, Friday practice reports. We've got the stardoms. We've got the sit-ems. As always, I'm joined by my big blue co-host from Brandenburg, Kentucky, Mr. Michael Trent. Mike, Chargers-Raiders was a snooze fest. Did we learn anything from that game at all?
Well, I'll tell you what, Scott, it was pretty boring. The one thing that I learned was the mistake that I made. I set Vincent Jackson, and it hurt quite a bit. You know, I was thinking about different wide receivers. Who should I set? Who should I start? And I was thinking, well, you know, San Diego, they'll get up quick, and they'll pretty much use LT and Darren Sproles and you know, it'll be a pretty simple deal, but I didn't expect Vincent Jackson to go off the way he did, and I hope a lot of you had Vincent Jackson started, because this guy has been proven to score a touchdown, you know, whether it be week after week, every other week, and a ton of yards, and it was one of those things that hurt, and, you know, one of those things that happen, and I have an affinity for not starting the right player sometimes in the playoffs, but hopefully that's what we're going to try to give to some of you guys that are in the playoffs this week, and maybe we can give you some insight. And, Scott, I know you can get a lot of better insight than I can, but I'm going to try to – I've got a lot of things broke down this week to where we've got your stardoms and setems, like you said. So we'll see what happens with that, Scott.
Well, we do have a lot of our opinions. Obviously, we try to give you guys as much data as we can to support our opinions. We also want to talk before we get too heavy into that. Just a couple of quick minutes. The FantasySportsChannel.com is streaming all kinds of great radio 24/7, guys. You can get your fantasy football advice, opinions, some stats that just might throw out at you that might help you make a lineup decision, a crucial decision midweek. You can download their toolbar so that a show is always streaming right there from your browser. They also have a browser. Pretty cool. It's loaded with options. But if you don't want to change your browser, I can completely understand that. But download the toolbar, and you can always uninstall it if it's not for you. But having that show broadcast live all day, throughout the day, you're going to find just stars loaded with content all day long, bringing you the advice that you need when you need it the most. So check that out. This show is for you, gang. It's not for us. We're here to help. We will always want listeners, they're encouraged to call the show. 347-324-5404. If you don't want to call in, then definitely come on in. Log in to blogtalkradio.com. Find Red versus Blue. We're on the Fantasy Sports Channel. And join the chat room. You can ask your questions there. We've always got guys, experts actually, in the chat room fielding advice. And we do want to make sure that you get your questions answered. We've got one in the chat room right now, RC Techies, Mike. He's in there, and he's obviously an accomplished player. Not that he needs our advice by any means whatsoever. He's dominating World Championship Fantasy Football. I'm going to keep it modest, though, but he's doing a great job. He's also winning in the FFPC. And he's got D'Angelo Williams this week. He's been a superstar for him all year. Obviously, if you've drafted D'Angelo, you've been blessed with what he's given you all year. But this is one of those weeks where, Mike, you have to consider – what do I do with D'Angelo when you have a tough matchup and some good options? These are the type of decisions we want to help you with. D'Angelo plays on Monday night. He's against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay definitely has a good run defense, and they're going to make things challenging for him. They've got the number four, or at least the top five, run defense in the league, allowing 13.9 points per game or thereabouts. His other options, Mike, are Lance Moore. He's got Lance Moore and Sammy Morris. So he's got Lance Moore against Atlanta, and he's got Sammy Morris, who has a great matchup against Seattle. So is there any possible way you bench D'Angelo?
No. I was just getting ready to say, Scott, this guy's hot. When you're coming into the first part of December, you're getting ready. Your team is ready to make the playoffs. You know you're going to make the playoffs, but you got to keep full steam ahead. You cannot bench D'Will. D'Angelo Williams is a must start in this case. Lance Moore, Sammy Morris, you know, I don't know. Sammy Morris is going to get some kind of carries, this and that, but we all know Bill Belichick and his scheme of things. He might just get five carries. Who knows? But I think you can always rely on D'Angelo Williams to get you, you know, probably 20 carries, a touchdown, one touchdown minimum, and a ton of yards. Because this team, they're on a pace to make the playoffs and to make something happen when they do make the playoffs.
Yep, I agree with that. You know, let's take one more look though. This is why we want you guys to come in and join the chat room. We don't stick with our show outline. We definitely want to get these questions answered with the best insight we can possibly give you. Let's just take one last quick look here, though, at Tampa Bay rushing defense. Yep, they're still number four, so they're allowing 15% below the average. You come down here with the matchup that Lance Moore has. You definitely can't consider Sammy Morris. There's just too many options at the running back. I don't know. I mean, you might even have Lamont Jordan stealing carries. You've got Kevin Faulk to think about. Way too many options for him to be even a consideration. But let's take a deeper look at this Lance Moore against Atlanta. Lance Moore is the number two there. Colson's still getting matched up with the number one corner. And when let's see what the number two wide receivers are doing against Atlanta. Okay, so it's a really good matchup to play that the corners in Atlanta as a number two wide receiver. The 22nd worst, Atlanta's the 22nd worst against the number two wide receivers. So it's 16% better than the average. It's still not enough for me to want to bench D'Angelo. Not with Carolina looking this good, and not with Carolina being at home. I don't think I'd have the guts.
No, I wouldn't either, Scott. I mean, it's very hard to bench D'Angelo because he's been running so hard. They've got a game plan. They put it in place. They're going to open it up, hopefully, with DeLome to Smith, and that even opens it up even more for D'Angelo Williams to have fun. And when I'm saying having fun, just run the ball with reckless abandon and just hit the holes. And the way I look at it is, can I get a 50, 60-yard run and a touchdown out of D-Will versus a Lance Moore, maybe? Possibly. That could happen with a pass play. But Sammy Morris is definitely out of the equation. So it's D-Will versus Lance Moore, and I still go with D'Angelo Williams.
Let's keep with the chat room, Mike. We've got quite a few more lineup questions going on in the chat room. Hey, we've got Billy Waz in here. Welcome, Billy. Thanks for being here. We've got Go-Go Broncos helping out with this decision for RC Techies. Go-Go says he's worried about more with Reggie Bush back. That's another consideration there. Bush is going to get some targets and some receptions there. Billy Waz, at the flex, PPR, Portis, Tashard Choice, Heath Miller, or Mohsin Muhammad. Boy, that's going to be one we're going to have to take a deeper look at. This is one of the stories I did want to bring out. Portis is expected to play. He took part in practice today. He was limited. Zorn said he believes he's good to go. Look, this guy is second in the NFL with 1,228 yards rushing. You can't bench that, right?
No.
Tashard Choice.
Yeah,
Marion Barber is questionable. He's doubtful. I would call that doubtful with against at Pittsburgh. I would move that to doubtful because when you're playing Pittsburgh, you don't have a lot of options there. Pittsburgh is number two against the run. So
well, I'll tell you what, Scott. This may be an unfair comparison, but last year I suffered all year through Plaxico Burress being questionable. Well,
right.
I'll tell you what, Clinton Portis is the same deal this year. Jim Zorn, Clinton Portis is going to be ready to play, and Jim Zorn knows that. I think Jim Zorn's playing a little Bill Belichick here.
It's an important game for sure. Yeah.
Absolutely. And there is no doubt in my mind, Clinton Portis is going to play, and he's going to play and be should be strong, should be good for a ton of points. I mean, yeah. You know, he'll beat the heck out of Tashard points or Tashard Choice as far as points goes in fantasy football. There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, that's tough sell for me. We know that Tashard Choice has a lot of upside. We've seen him in the dynasty rankings, and we've kind of watched him when he was in college. But we still have a hard time when you've got Portis having a career year. Back to an important game for him. It's against Baltimore, but that's right in the same ballpark that you have with Dallas's matchup. So I don't see a great upside to even consider Choice. And if Portis is going to play, you've got to throw him in. Obviously, if Portis sits for some mysterious reason, maybe we can find that out early enough, and you can go ahead and throw that in. Who are the other options here? Heath Millett now. Can't do that. Mohsin Muhammad, I just don't see how you can. I mean, he was virtually unstartable last year. Now he is back with DeLome, and Tampa Bay is number 10 against wide receivers this year.
Yeah, if you look at Jake DeLome's numbers in the last 3-4 weeks, they're not real good. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, he's not making the mistakes to lose his team the game. I mean, but he's not putting up numbers, and Mohsin Muhammad is not getting the numbers either. So when you're talking fantasy football, I would have a very hard time starting Mohsin Muhammad in this matchup.
Mike, did you say that Portis is going to get tons of points against Baltimore?
You know what? I cannot stand playing anybody that plays Baltimore. I've been preaching that for 3 or 4 weeks now. But I do remember, wasn't there a game when – Cincinnati played Baltimore where they basically had a lot of offensive yardage and got things done. I think I think Jim Zorn is going to figure a way for Clinton Portis to just get things done. I would say at least 100 yards rushing, maybe even more than that, against the Baltimore defense. I have preached this and preached this, that you cannot run, you cannot pass, you cannot do anything against Baltimore's defense. Well, let's see what happens, and let's see what happens with Clinton Portis against Baltimore.
We've got a couple of more chat room questions coming up here. We appreciate everybody helping out with those. This is just a great place to get some live chat advice from a lot of the pros that are sitting out here. We've got JD Cube in the house. Thanks for joining us. He's got his lineup set. He's got Jacobs over Hightower with Tomlinson and Slayton going and Calvin Johnson and Greg Jennings in. Wow, that's a monster lineup. Okay, here's the question. Curtis over Muhammad. Now, Curtis has a very tough matchup against the Giants, but let's take a little bit of a closer look. Just since we've got you here on the show, we'll take one closer look. Kevin Curtis is the number one wide receiver there in Philly, and so let's just take a look against the Giants. It's the ninth toughest matchup against number one wide receivers right now. I don't have a lot of data on their corner situation to find out who they're matching up against, but that's definitely a tough matchup. Panthers are playing Tampa Bay again. We've already broken that down, and that's not any easier. So you go with the better player, and that's definitely Kevin Curtis.
I think so too. And plus, Donovan, he's starting to go to Curtis, and or not Donovan, but I mean he's starting to go with him and feels good about him. So you know, you got to feel good about going with Kevin Curtis.
Yeah, and I think he has been getting the looks to go with that. So with after a beat from McNabb, he's got a tough matchup. He's got a lot to prove. It's one of those guys that is going to be playing his heart out. You don't know if it's going to be him or Reed in with that team next year. My guess is they're both gone, but that's just me. We'll find out how that works out.
Well, you know what, Scott. I really totally disagree with you. I think Donovan's gone. I think Reed's going to still be there because there's obviously there's a connection that the head coach can't get through to Donovan, but he can get through to the rest of the team. That Thanksgiving Day game was, I mean, that was outstanding. I mean, we saw something that we probably haven't seen in a long time as far as what Donovan McNabb did. And the rest of the team, but there's a ton of friction there, and one of the two have to go. It won't be both, and I do believe it's going to be Donovan. Donovan will be a Minnesota Viking.
We've got another question. I like to kind of hit on these. These are the types of decisions that can really get a team in trouble. You've got Hillis or Frank Gore is the question. And while we like Hillis as a sleeper this week, he's even past the sleeper status. It's not really a sleeper. When you look at Kansas City is number 28 against running backs all year long. They've been dead last for quite a while. Seeing what Hillis did against the Jets with a few injuries there, I wouldn't expect them to do that again. To allow that again, the Jets anyway. But Hillis is a great start against Denver. But if you've drafted Frank Gore, you're married to Frank Gore. You take Frank Gore in the first round, and that's the guy that you go with every single week. It would kill you to see Gore do what he does on his bench, and you look back and say, who did I bench, and why did I bench him? you do it. It looks on paper, but if you drafted Frank Gore, you have to start him. And, hey, you know, the Jets allowed Hillis to run wild, so, you know, I don't see that continuing again with that line improving this week. I think you have to start Frank Gore, and I think a couple of people in the chat room, Billy, agrees with me. He's starting Steven Jackson this week, and there's nothing wrong with starting Steven Jackson as he's back in the fold. Against Arizona. Arizona is number 12 against the run, so it's not a great matchup. But obviously, Steven Jackson is one of those guys that's a focal part of the offense, so you've got to throw him in there. And I just don't think that in an important week like this, and it's probably a championship week, right? So you can't bench Frank Gore. We've got a caller,
no.
Mike. We've got a caller from the 920. So let's go ahead and take this caller from the 920. 920, where is that?
That's in Wisconsin, baby. How you guys doing?
Hey, how's it going?
I recognize that voice. That's Leroy's Aces. How are you, Dave?
That's what I thought.
Good. How are you guys tonight?
Man, we've been running wild here. Looking forward to this show. We want to get you guys, especially somebody like you. You're in a lot of playoffs this week. NFFC and NBC made those. Congratulations.
Oh, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. Just getting started. Well, week 14.
That's right. We had you on earlier this year, and you were looking really, really strong. Dave Gerzak, founder of the Fantasy Football Players Championship, thanks for joining us. We had him on the show, and he has a chance at the coveted $1 million prize for the National Fantasy Football Championship. He has made the playoffs in both the NFFC and the NBC, and if you win both, I think that's how it works. If you win both, then you win the $1 million. So best of luck to you there, man. Let's make it happen. What are we looking at?
I got a couple lineup decisions. In the NFFC, the NFFC main, which is the 14-team league, I have three guys. I have to start two of them. I have to choose between Santonio Holmes. He's playing at home against Dallas.
Mm.
I have Kevin Walter at the Packers, and Pierre Thomas. And there's a chance that Deuce McAllister might not get suspended for the steroids, so that's one of the considerations there.
I
got to bench one guy.
got to bench one guy.
Yep.
Start
Pierre
two and
Thomas
bench one, right,
Atlanta,
Dave?
Antonio Holmes versus Dallas. Kevin Walter at Green Bay.
And Pierre Thomas.
All right, so let's take a look at that. Kevin Walter at Green Bay. Green Bay has the number five defense against wide receivers. He's going to have a tough matchup there. Those corners are definitely tough. You've got Santonio Holmes versus Dallas. Dallas has the number 18 defense versus wide receivers. Let's take a closer look. I know this is one of, Dave, this is probably one of your sources too, Football Outsiders. They're definitely a good source of information to see how those match up. You're calling Santonio Holmes. He's obviously the number two in Pittsburgh behind Hines Ward. I'm sure that's how that shakes down on defenses. But we'll take a look at both just to be sure.
I definitely think you have to plug in Santonio Holmes.
Number 30. Dallas is number 30 against wide receiver twos. Who is that corner there? Who is that corner? That's not Roy Williams, right?
No, he's hurt.
Yeah.
No, we've got nothing left. I think Santonio Holmes is a definite plug-in, Dave. And then the other two, whew.
Pierre Thomas, by the own coach's admission, has looked like the best player, best running back they have on the team. So I don't see any reason why you would bench that guy. So my votes are Pierre Thomas and Santonio Holmes.
Okay, cool. Thanks for that one. And I have one more in the NBC Primetime, which is a 12-team format. I have to start one of these three guys. Isaac Bruce, he's playing at home against the Jets, who've been giving up
great
a lot of passing yards.
Great matchup.
He's possibly going against Revis, and they say they have Arnaz battle back, and so there's a chance that they may not throw his direction if Revis is on him. And I have Ted Ginn Jr. at Buffalo, and Ted Ginn, when he had a 7-for-175 game, that was against Buffalo. And the last choice is Work Done at Carolina. And, Work Done.
Yeah.
Hmm. I like Ted Ginn on the turf in Toronto.
In Toronto, that's right.
Yep. I like Ted Ginn on the turf in Toronto. And I'm leaning toward Work Done. I'm going to leave Isaac Bruce out. They're playing home against the Jets, but.
He can only start one of these.
Okay, I like Ted Ginn.
I did see that against Ted Ginn. He had a big game earlier this year against Buffalo, 7-for-175. And when I look at that matchup, Buffalo is number 28 against number one wide receivers this year. So Ted Ginn looks like an excellent start. I'm actually considering benching. Here I go again. I am actually considering benching Kotchery for Ted Ginn this week, and it cost me my league championship game in WCOFF. And here I am again. I'm like, well, it already cost me the championship game, so why not
do it again? Why not do it again?
So, yeah.
I should just mention I'm starting Dwayne Bowe as my number three right now, so I could also bench Bowe if I was to start, like, let's say, Warrick Dunn. You only get a half point per catch as running backs as well. I should have mentioned that.
Yeah. I'm with you. I think Ted Ginn is the play there. Isaac Bruce is intriguing. When you talk about Darrell Revis, I think he went to Pittsburgh, right? I mean, he matched up against my Louisville Cardinals there a couple of times. He's not really a shutdown corner. He just plays you tough and plays you physical. So I think he is. It's a better than average defender, but not by much. So I think you would have to consider that at the end of the day. Isaac Bruce is gone. They're going to have to throw probably to keep up with Brett Favre. That's one thing to consider. I could kind of see Miami and Buffalo being a grind out running game, and I don't see that. I just don't see that with the Jets. I think if they're going to utilize Gore, they're going to have to utilize him through the air. You've got the Jets' D-line improving this week, and you're going to have to keep up with Brett Favre because the San Francisco defense is not going to put too much of a scare into Favre, I don't believe. So the pace of the game is what I'm trying to think of here. The pace of the game kind of sets you up to use Isaac Bruce there more so than it does the Miami-Buffalo game. I don't know. What do you think, Mike?
Well, I tell you what – you know, just for the simple fact that game is going to be indoors, I see Miami using a lot of different angles. The crowd's going to be in Buffalo's hands, but I care less about the crowd and what they're thinking. Those players, they don't care less about it either. To me, that's a neutral field, and I see Miami seeing this as a window of opportunity, knowing what they have in front of them with that week schedule. This is a total window of opportunity. I think Chad Pennington's going to open up a little bit, and I see Ginn for at least a touchdown, and maybe 100 yards. I really do, because you don't have to worry about the wind, the lake effect snows, or this and that from Buffalo. This game is indoors, and it could be a track meet. It could be a track meet, believe it or not, even though J.P. Lossman, which we haven't touched on, is going to start at quarterback for Buffalo.
Yeah, and I'm not too sure.
Thanks for the advice. Yeah.
I'm not too sure. I'm a big fan of Lossman, but he does. That bodes well for Lee Evans. Lossman loves Lee Evans. It seems like that's who Evans wants on the field. Although Edwards is, I believe, the better quarterback. I think Lossman knows who his money receiver is, and he's showed that over the years. So, well, Dave, thanks for having coming on the show and helping out. You wanna help out some of these other callers in the chat room? We've got a couple of more if you want to stick around for a few minutes.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. Well, let's see. We've got the next decision that I can see here. JD Cube in a non-WCFF league. Welcome, Day Drinker Josh, to the chat room. Appreciate you stopping by. He has Romo or Thigpen. Let's take a look at those two matchups.
Ooh.
We had Thigpen as somebody that had to be started this week. Thigpen is playing the number 31 defense in the NFL against the quarterback. At Denver, you have to figure that's a great matchup there. And then
here's what's fun
now,
about
Romo
what we do, Scott.
Pittsburgh. Romo at Pittsburgh. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, here's what's fun about what we do. You take a look at Romo Thigpen, and most people on the surface would say, "Well, Romo," but the way you break it down, the way we try to break it down, and along with Dave staying along with us, this is why we're going to try to make you. Make it better and move on through the playoffs, because when you look at it, yeah, well, Romo, well, not necessarily. What you got, Scott?
I start Thigpen. I bench Romo.
Yeah.
Well, Romo was a guy that for a while there we thought we could go after in a trade league, in an ant sports league, and we look at his matchups in the playoffs, and it's just the wrong guy. This is not a guy that you want in the playoffs. So congratulations on a great snag in Tyler Thigpen. It's one of those guys that this is a guy that you want to start starting off your playoff. Listen to this. The Broncos secondary does get Champ Bailey back. He is hopeful. But we're still talking about Denver's pass defense. They've been bad all year. They rank number 27, 28, I think. I think they're tied there. They've allowed 15 touchdowns and only 5 picks. Big Ben has cooled off a little bit. Big Ben has cooled off. He's it looks like he's averaged about 160 yards, no touchdowns, one INT against Oakland last week. So he's got 4 interceptions in the past 3 games. We're seeing a little bit of a slide here, okay? So I want to be honest with you, but he should be able to make some plays against the Broncos, especially with Gonzo on top of his game, the consummate professional. Dwayne Bowe's having a great year. Mark Bradley's making plays.
I mean, when was the last time Dwayne Bowe had a really huge game? This could be it. If you have Dwayne Bowe, you might be sitting on a huge game.
Larry Johnson should dominate the offense, but don't be afraid of Thigpen.
No.
Dave, what would you do?
Yeah, you know, I have to totally agree with you. I mean, the over-under in the Pittsburgh game is like 38, possible inclement weather, and it's the number one rush defense, the number one pass defense Dallas is coming into. And you know, I think Dallas, there's a chance that Pittsburgh beats Dallas like 23-6. I mean, they may not even score a touchdown, possibly. And the other game, even if Kansas City gets blown out, that means they're throwing the entire second half just like normal. When you have a bad defense and a pretty decent offense, that's usually good for fantasy.
And we've got a couple of other lineup decisions in there. So, again, kudos on backing up Romo. It's definitely something that a lot of times you don't see coming. If you looked at your schedule, if you listen to this show, Romo was going to hit a tough stretch here regardless. He's a hard player to bench, don't get me wrong. He's somebody that can still put up, you know, 250 and 3 on anybody on any given day. But this stretch is going to get very tough, and you have an option in Thigpen that presents quite a bit of upside. He's shown you that. So it would have to be at the end of the day, I'm going to put Thigpen in unless something just really spooks me in the nighttime when I'm sitting there rolling over about it. I think I'm going to try to leave Thigpen and stay away from my computer on Sunday morning. Listen, you think about this stuff all day, all week. You get your guy in there. Don't go near the computer on Sunday morning. Just leave it alone unless you get your injury.
Leave it alone.
Leave it alone. Let's take a look at some other questions we've got here. We've got Cotchery or Keller. Cotchery or Keller, I guess, is a flex here. And, again, they're playing San Francisco. We've been kind of stuck on this game, so let's just ride this out. San Francisco is a very good defense against the tight ends, number 6 in the league against tight ends. But Keller's one of those guys that's still going to get far balls regardless of what the defense here says. He has shown you that he is going to force the ball into Keller. It doesn't matter what it looks like. He could be covered. He could be double covered. Favre's going to force the ball in there. He had let's look at these targets the last couple of weeks for Keller. 6, 10, 7, 11. That's from a tight end.
Wow.
You've got to like what you see there.
Yeah, that's a ton of touches, Scott. And the other thing is Lavernius Coles, he stepped up. So when you break down what Favre is trying to do, it tells me that they could be in some situations where Keller is going to be getting more touches, obviously. So I would go with Keller on that. I can't believe I'm saying that, but I would go with Dustin Keller on that.
It's a very tough call, Dave. Billy Waz is in the chat room. He doesn't think he could pull the trigger on that. Billy's an opinion you've got to respect here. He could see Cotchery going for where did I read that here? He could see Cotchery going for 8 for 110 and a TD. He can't see Keller doing that. So.
Yeah, that sounds logical. I mean, I think I might have to go along with that a little bit too. And it's just, you know, you look at the stats in the last few weeks, and it looks like Keller's going to keep producing and producing. And then all of a sudden, maybe he's not. You know, this week maybe he just doesn't, and Cotchery gets all those looks. So I just have a feeling like with the wide receiver, you should feel comfortable that you can count on the production. I don't think Keller at this point is like a Gonzalez-type player. Or Gates. Oh, wait, he just did zero. So I don't know. I think that's where I would go. I'd probably go with Cotchery.
Billy, I'm sure we've confused this situation just enough for you. We've been all over the map with that one. Sorry. That's one of those
I agree.
That's one of those that I put both their names on a piece of paper. I throw them on the floor. I bring Simon over and I let him pick. I say,
which
pick
one,
up
Simon?
Piece of paper. And you let Simon pick it, and you just ride the karma there. So I think either one is going to get you downside of 10 points. And if it's not FFPC scoring. So if it was FFPC, I'm throwing Keller in. If it's WCFF and just PPR, I'd probably go Cotchery. That's probably how I decide it. So let's take another look here at the chat room. There's just tons of guys coming in here to get some lineup decisions. You know what? I'm not seeing other ones. Let's take a look at the targets for last week. Greg Jennings led the league with 13 targets. Colston and Marshall both with 12. It's nice to see the big names back up there with Colston coming back after a one-target week last week. Randy Moss, Tony Gonzalez, Andre Johnson, Zach Miller, Dustin Keller, Matt Jones, Chad Johnson, and Deion Branch all had 11 targets last week. Now, Mike Branch is one of those guys that in FFPC, we were going to throw in the lineup, but it sounds to me, what I just heard on the way in here is that Matt Hasselbeck is not going to play. So is Branch somebody that you can start?
Well, I think you can. I mean, even though Matt might not play, I think you can start Deion Branch. The intriguing thing with me is Matt Jones. I really think that Matt Jones could step up and come in there and, you know, have a good game with Garrard, because Garrard made a ton of mistakes last week. And, you know, they got problems there in Jacksonville, but you know, and Andre Johnson, I mean, I'm looking at the touches right now, the targets, and it's, you know, I would much rather start Matt Jones than Deion Branch.
Yeah, Branch is one of those that it depends on the option that you have. Here's another question from Shot Caller. Welcome welcome to the group here. Santonio Holmes or Steve Breston? Breston is one of those guys that we had pegged this week, Mike. We had pegged with the matchup. You wanna talk about that matchup against St. Louis?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Steve Breston, he can do whatever he wants when he wants. Him and Kurt Warner, they've gotten together, but it's so hard in that three set with Fitz and, you know, Anquan. It's so hard for them all three to get the numbers that you need to get for your fantasy football team to be successful. So with that said, you know, who is the other one? Steve Breston and
Santonio Holmes.
Yeah, I would lean towards Santonio Holmes. I'm banking on Santonio Holmes having a big, big week this week against Dallas. I know they're going to be rushing hard in Big Ben, and they're going to make Ben. They're going to make him rush and rush his passes, but I think Santonio Holmes is going to be a bigger value for you.
Dave, either way he goes here, both of those matchups are great. You've got Santonio Holmes is facing the number 30th ranked defense against number 2 wide receivers, and Breston is starting the number 31 ranked defense in St. Louis against number 3 wide receivers.
Man, St. Louis is a disaster. I would probably still go with Holmes just because he's number 2 on the team. Even though Warner can probably name as many yards as he throws for. He still looks for Bolden first and then Fitzgerald second in the red zone. And Preston's probably a distant third. Where Holmes, he gets a lot of looks in the red zone. He, even at, you know, like the 5, 6, 7 yard line, he's still in there. And so is Hines Ward, of course. But, you know, Holmes does get some red zone looks. So I would probably look towards Holmes myself.
Man, Holmes is a popular character here. His name just keeps coming up. Day Director Josh, Holmes or Dwayne Bowe? And we haven't really talked about Dwayne Bowe as much. We kind of talked about Thigpen having a great game. And so obviously if Thigpen's having a great game, you would think Dwayne Bowe is going to be having a great game. But actually, you know, statistically it looks like Bradley's going to be a nice play if he plays. You've got Champ Bailey back, but can Champ Bailey really match up on Dwayne Bowe? I mean, the guy, there's a definite size advantage there for Dwayne Bowe. So anybody have comments for Josh on Holmes or Bowe?
Well,
Go ahead.
Hey, Dave, I'm with you. I mean, it's been a long time since we've seen Bo really have a really breakout game. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me for two touchdowns, you know, and a lot of yards, 125 maybe. Bo, I mean, he's sitting on a big game, and he's waiting on Big Penn to, you know, deliver it. And so this could be a big game. So I gotta start bowling in that situation.
Yeah, we've got
some news in the chat room that somebody thinks Bailey might be out, so we're going to check on that for you by the end of the show. We hopefully should have some confirmation of that for Champ Bailey. I heard that he might play, and that was obviously earlier tonight or earlier today. So if there's an update on that, we'll try to get that information for you. We have one other guy that's been waiting for a while here, Fly Peter. He's got, let's see if I can read my own handwriting here, Eddie Royal or Dwayne Bowe. So here's another Dwayne Bowe question. Eddie Royal, Kansas City.
Hey, that's all you, buddy.
Yep, Kansas City against wide receivers is number 16. So Eddie Royal, though, isn't he the same guy that had the toe problems and he still performed last week?
Yeah, I
hey, Dave,
I like
you
Royal.
Want that one?
Yeah, I like Royal in this matchup a little bit more than Bowe. I mean, Royal played really well last week. He's not even on the injury report this week, so I favor Royal. And, you know, I like Big Ten, but you do have Cutler at home. And, you know, Royal's he's playing very, very well.
Yeah.
Well,
you know,
I tell you what, I benched Royal last week, Dave, and, you know, he ended up scoring a touchdown, and I was like, gosh, dog it. But, If you're going Royal versus Bowe, I'm going to go Bowe.
Yo, Mike, you must have the best bench in fantasy football, I got to tell you. High scoring.
Royal's been one of those surprising players, and he's been very consistent. So I don't think you're going to be hurting it on either, but I think you go for the big game potential with Dwayne Bowe. And cross your fingers that's a nice shootout. Cutler and KC, what's the over-under on that? Does anybody have that handy?
49.
It's going to be 49,
yeah.
It's going to be hard to bench Dwayne Bowe in that game, so throw him in and cross your fingers. Dave Drinker Josh has another tough one here, guys. Kevin Smith, Joseph Addai, Dominic Rhodes, Tashard Choice, Sammy Morris, pick two. I'm going to read them again. Kevin Smith, Joseph Addai, Dominic Rhodes, Tashard Choice, and Sammy Morris. Man, I hope this is not a big time money.
Easy.
That's funny. Oh man, I would probably look at Morris and whichever indie guy plays, probably. Would, you know, if it's Addai or if it's Rhodes, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you could start Choice, but that's a tough matchup.
Kevin Smith, Joseph Addai. No problem. Done. I mean, we're looking at Tashard Choice, which, I mean, he ran hard on Thanksgiving Day. But, you know, I don't know what I'm going to get. Plus, you know, against Pittsburgh defense. So that's enough said there. Sammy Morris, same thing. Dominic Rhodes, I'm going to either pick Addai or Dominic Rhodes. Now I've gotten to that point, so I'm going to take Joseph Addai. And then Kevin Smith, I can't believe I'm taking a Detroit Lion, but yeah, I would go without a doubt, Kevin Smith, Joseph Addai.
Well, and you've got to watch out for Joseph Addai if he has that injury. You know, obviously he's got a knee issue, so he is questionable. You've obviously got one or the other, kind of like Dave said. That takes care of one half of the equation. The other half of the equation, I don't think, is as simple as Kevin Smith, since you've got the tough matchup with Minnesota. Minnesota's obviously
brutal. Well, those Williams guys are both playing too, they said. D-line.
Yeah. Yeah, when you reunite those guys, it's not going to be pretty. Let's look at Seattle. Seattle's number 22 against the run. But it's just such a crowded backfield there. Sammy Morris is still the best option there, and I think he's healthy. I read that earlier yesterday that he is healthy, and that he, if he's healthy, they know he's the best best option that they have, although Falk has been the consummate professional for that team.
But in my opinion, Jordan is sitting out.
What's that?
But, Scott, Sammy Morris will not get you – he may – at best, he may get you a touchdown. It's going to be Kevin Falk. He's going to get the touchdowns in those situations. I really believe that. You know, I see, what, 20 carries maybe?
Yeah, but Sammy Morton has the best chance.
Will Detroit score a touchdown? That's a question.
Yeah, Sammy Morris has the best chance to pound in a touchdown. And so when you're talking about who's going to have the best chance to pound in a touchdown and get 6 points,
That's easily true.
Sammy Morris of
that's
of,
Sammy
of
versus
all those
Kevin. You're right. You're right. You and Dave both are right there because I heard Dave what he said. Will Detroit score a touchdown? I don't know. They might score a touchdown in 2010.
Yeah, and so let's take one last look at the game times. I don't have those in front of me, but let's pull those up real quick. Game times would be very important to this decision. This is a big league, he said. So. We want to give him some attention here. Minnesota at Detroit is a 1 o'clock game. New England, Seattle is a 4 o'clock. Indy game, obviously, you've got at 1 o'clock, so that one's in the bag. And then who is his last option? Tashard Choice?
Tashard Choice, yeah.
Okay, so that is a 4 o'clock game as well. You know, I think I would go into it and play my Indy guy. You find out who plays there. I sit Kevin Smith against Minnesota, even though it's at home. And then at 4 o'clock, I decide between – I listen to hear the Barber news. If Barber sits, then, you know, Dallas is the type of team that can punch you in a touchdown or two for sure, no matter who they're playing. So then I kind of look at, okay, I make my decision between Morris and Choice. And if Barber is out, I might throw Choice in. If Barber plays, obviously you've got Sammy Morris in the lineup. Go ahead and lock him in just in case your internet goes down or something. You've got Morris in. He's the safe play. And then, you know, you throw Barber's backup in if you hear something come up on Barber being out. So hope that helps,
I've been
man.
Following this league. Hey, Dave, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I've been following this league along. Time. I mean, I guarantee you, all of us have, and all of the listeners, there is no way that a team is going to go. They're going to win a game. Now, I'm not predicting a Detroit Lion win, but I am going to say, start Kevin Smith.
Well, there you go. You heard it.
Yep, you heard it. You heard it from Mike. So we'll see if that works out. You got Donald Driver or Antonio Bryant. And this is one that I pegged earlier in the week. I did want to get this out. You do want to bench Antonio Bryant this week against Carolina. They shut down number one wide receivers. And so I see an ugly game there. And then you've got Driver with a decent matchup, right? I mean, at Houston, I definitely put Driver in there. Anybody have any comments with that?
Oh, I would tend to agree with that. I mean, I don't normally bench Bryant, but I guess in this matchup you wouldn't. You'd figure that Green Bay is going to throw very well against Houston, I would think.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, just have fun against Houston. And Aaron Rodgers, I mean, the kid, he's doing so well. And, you know, I really believe in what he's trying to do for the organization. And, you know, they're having fun. Driver's having fun. Jennings having fun. So I totally agree with that.
All right, let's take a look at a couple of the other stats that we haven't got to pile through, Mike. Jacksonville at Chicago. 21 wide receivers versus Chicago have scored 10 points. 13 have scored over 15. So you got to start Matt Jones. You also have to start Greg Olsen here. If he's one of those questionable guys, they're 29th versus tight ends. They definitely leave the middle open. So if you have Greg Olsen and you're kind of teetering on him, we say to start Greg Olsen. We're not going to give you the obvious starts. That's for other shows. We want to give you those guys that are kind of obscure, kind of on the fence, you may have questions about. Minnesota at Detroit, 9 running backs over 20 points against Detroit. 16 over 10, okay? So if you have a questionable flex, start Chester Taylor this week. You should get Adrian Peterson should get you 20. Chester Taylor on the downside should get you 10. And then we also like Visanti Shunko, the tight end for Minnesota. Detroit is number 31 versus tight ends. So it should be a big day all around for the running game and over the middle for Shunko. Mike, what do you see in the Cincinnati-Indianapolis game?
You know what? Cincinnati's going to do the same thing. They're going to play tough defense. Believe it or not, I think Indianapolis may score, 24. But Cincinnati has no offense at all. I don't see fantasy-wise. I think Husmanzada, he may reach the end zone. As far as Indy goes, I think the best you're going to get is Peyton Manning to Reggie Wayne maybe once, Peyton Manning to Dallas Clark twice or once, and then like we talked about a little bit earlier, I think it's going to be Joseph Addai, and I don't see much out of Dominic Rhodes. I really don't, because they pounded Joseph Addai last week, and they're going to keep on doing it. They're on a roll, Scott. These guys are on a roll and they're on a mission. So, and they know where their money is, and their money is in Joseph Addai.
Yeah, and I tell you what, Marvin Harrison is looking more and more like a good starter this week. If you have been putting him in, you've been wrong more than you've been right, and then probably you've been right when he's been on your bench. Sometimes you're wrong. It's one of those guys that you're always flipping back and forth with, but he loves being at home. I think he definitely plays better on that surface. And with that crowd, they love Marvin. And this is a week that I think you bench Dallas Clark. Anthony Gonzalez is a little banged up, so that might put Dallas back into my lineup. But since he is number two versus tight ends, primarily because I don't think it's a linebacker situation for Cincinnati, although it could be. Somebody more knowledgeable than me might be able to tell you. But I think it's because they just allow those wide receivers in the ground game so much. Cincinnati is number 31 and number 25 versus wide receiver 1 and wide receiver 2. So you start Marvin if you're having a question about that.
Well, see, Scott, I don't know. I mean, those numbers are good, but they're kind of skewed a little bit because on big plays, Cincinnati has been able to keep some teams in the game because of their defense. And for whatever reason, let's face it, Carson Palmer's done, and, that hurt, that totally hurt the season. But they're not that bad. I mean, they're awful. But what I'm saying is their defense has – now, come on, guys, work with me. Their defense has been able to allow them in a lot of games. Cue up Baltimore. Cue up Philadelphia Eagles.
I love that quote. They're not that bad, but they're awful. Okay, I got that one down. All right, Philadelphia at New York Giants.
Yeah.
I say you start Kevin Boss. Again, he's been a sleeper of mine the last couple of weeks. Kevin Boss, the Giants are number 25. I'm sorry, Philadelphia is number 25 versus tight end, so that's the only guy that I really think needs to get in your lineup this week. Cleveland at Tennessee shuts down the number one wide receivers. So this is the receiver I wanted to talk to you about this week just to briefly – tell you that if you have Braylon in your lineup all year, you've been disappointed. This is the week you bench Braylon. They've got quarterback issues. You can't trust the quarterback. You have Ken Dorsey in the lineup. This is one of those weeks that you leave Braylon on your bench, and that's the number one top five wide receiver from last year that you bench. Atlanta at New Orleans, expect a shootout for Matt Ryan. You've got to start Matt Ryan. New Orleans has allowed 8 quarterbacks over 20 points this year. Matt Ryan's a definite start if you have him on your team, unless you've got one of those elite quarterbacks. But if you've got a great chance at 20 points, 75% of the time, New Orleans allows that. You've got to go ahead and throw him in there. Andre Johnson's another guy, even though Green Bay has a shutdown corner, they're number one or the number three against number one wide receivers. You still have to start Andre Johnson. Don't make the crucial mistake. Miami at Buffalo, I've got start Josh Reed. Reed saw 9 targets last week in the loss to the Niners. And
so
I think Yeah, oh, that's right. It is in Toronto. You start Josh Reed. Miami's number 32 against number two wide receivers. I don't know what kind of problem they have there. If you've got Josh Reed, you need a flex emergency situation, maybe you throw Josh Reed in there. Jets are number 32 versus tight ends. If you've got Vernon Davis and you don't have another thing going, maybe you throw Vernon Davis in the lineup. They're one of the worst. They're the worst in the league right now against tight ends. So I think that's an option that you throw in. And then obviously Randy Moss. This New England Patriot game at Seattle. You guys start Randy Moss. If you had any questions about that, you start Ben Watson, number 26 versus tight ends. You start Deion Branch if you don't have anything else. They're number 23 versus wide receiver ones. New England's definitely been soft against those wide receivers. And obviously Matt Castle, he's a definite start. Number 29 against quarterbacks this year. Seattle has been absolutely awful. Start Matt Castle. Don't look back. Mike, that's the rundown. I think we covered the St. Louis game several times.
Yeah.
I like Torrey Holt this week. Torrey Holt might see a resurgence, you know, number 30 against wide receiver ones this year.
I know. Scott, with about 4 minutes to go, I just want to say one thing. First off, thanks to Dave and, you know, Alex and a bunch of others that we've had on the show. And we're going to keep this thing going. Red versus blue, you know, we got basketball and NBA. You know, we're going to talk a lot of other things. But there's always going to be a segment that includes fantasy football, dynasty owners. Keep on talking. Let's keep on talking. Let's keep the interest alive, which it already is. But let's keep on moving it on. Super Bowl predictions. Dave, I'll challenge you maybe next week. Maybe give us a Super Bowl prediction. Somebody that you like from the NFC, AFC, and we can go from there. But I just want to interject there and just say that it's been a lot of fun here in the last few weeks. But we're going to keep this thing going. And, Dave, if you know anybody that wants to listen to us and listen to us as far as college basketball and continuing forward through the bowl games, give us some bowl predictions, whatever it takes.
Sounds like fun, guys. Thanks a lot for having me. I really appreciate it. I'm going to give you here's my Super Bowl sleeper. I like Baltimore. Keep an eye out on Baltimore. Thanks a lot, guys. I'll catch you later.
Hey, Dave, good luck in your playoffs, man. And congratulations on the FFPC. They've been rolling with that contest. There hasn't been a single problem with the FFPC. We really loved that event. We'd like to have Alex Kaganowski back, our prognosticator. He's been absolutely on fire. You'd be up 4,800 units on the year if you've listened to Alex this year. And unfortunately, for some reason, those props are not coming out on Fridays anymore. They've been releasing them on Saturday, so I don't know what's going on. But for some reason, those props are just not coming out on time. Day drinker Josh, sorry about Louisville last night. I didn't actually see the game, so I don't actually know what you're referring to. But we are going to talk a little bit after this show in the archive.
Go
Dicks,
call.
Basketball. So, everybody, we appreciate it. Mike, it's always a thrill doing the show with you, man. You're a lot of fun. You know what you're doing, and it's nice to get together with you once a week.
Well, I'll tell you what, Scott, without your knowledge and without what you're doing, we wouldn't have made it happen. I mean, like I said, we were driving to Chicago for the NFFC draft and thinking about how can we make this work. And but the bottom line is, I don't want to see it in. What?
Yeah, to communicate. Some men you just can't reach. Which is the way.
Mike, it's been a lot of fun. Thanks for showing up. We appreciate all the listeners. There's been a lot of good conversation in the chat room, and we look forward to that every week. Stay, come back and listen to the archive. We'll have some more news for you. This has been Red vs. Blue. So long.
Your women crying. Look at your young men dying.
I love the way
they've always done before. Look at the sick. Peace could last forever. And in my first memory, they shot Kennedy. I went numb when I learned to see. So I never fell for Vietnam. We got the wall of disease to remind us all that you can't trust freedom when it's not in your hands. When everybody's fighting for their promised land.
Loving that GNR, man. We had to bring it back. Well, by popular demand.
Oh, yeah, man. Hell yeah.
I hope you've been able to get check out that new CD, Chinese Democracy. It's full of tracks that take a little while to grow on you when you're used to the GNR that we've all grown to love. But there's some definite hidden gems on there. So I encourage you to go check that out. It makes a nice stocking stuffer for Christmas for all the guys about our age. So.
The Mike, wall of deceit and the soul.
Mike, I don't know where Dr. Dish is this week, but what happened to Louisville last night, man? 14-63, Rutgers just came in. I turned it on. I got home. I heard that they got a couple of quick touchdowns. At Chichester, our tall wide receiver, 6'9", he drops that touchdown. And then they're down before you know it, 56-7 or something like that in the third quarter. There's 9 minutes left.
Yeah, it was pretty quick from what I understand. When I got home, I was the very interesting thing there, Scott, was that they interviewed Rutgers coach, and his name escapes me, and we hope to have him on soon. But he was like, well, we're going to power down. We're not done. And obviously he wanted to score a lot of points against Louisville, and, well, he accomplished his goal, that's for sure. It's just it's a rebuilding thing, and you hate to hear it, and I hate to hear it when you talk about the word rebuilding. But Steve Cragthorpe was interviewed today, and he said, "As long as I'm here, I'm going to work hard to right this ship." But if you don't mind me, I would like to.
As long as he's here is the key. As long as he's here, that's the key. What he just said right there.
Right, boy, he's going to be there because that's his buddy.
You've already moved backwards 5 years, so you're already back there. You might as well ride it out with him.
I'm going to bring up somebody's name that on the way home from work today, I heard an interview, and I saw a piece in the paper. Marcus Maben.
Yeah.
And it was very touching. About 7 o'clock tonight, on the way home from work, they were talking to Marcus Maben and about what he's been through, about his accident.